Hey world, I'm Cassie Martinez, host of Globethotter, the pod that puts the lover in travel lover. Thanks for joining me as I interview a slew of amazing adventurers who, like me, kiss and tell. This week, we've got Canadian cutie Melissa McMeekin on the pod, and we're dishing about life back when we used to sleep 10 in a room on creaky bunk beds and had the time of our lives. Melissa and I met 2 summers ago when she backpacked her way down to Lagos, Portugal to let loose for her birthday, and I was in charge of getting her wasted. I was volunteering at the Rising Cock Hostel. Yep, you heard that name right. And my main job in exchange for accommodation was making sure guests like Melissa had the best time ever as one of the hostel's dedicated pub crawl leaders. Now, where do I put that on my resume again? A family-owned hostel down in the Algarve, it was typical to find yourself partying until 6 a.m., catching the sunrise with the new total love of your life, then stumbling into the kitchen just in time for one of Mama's famous homemade crepes. When you volunteer at a party hostel like Melissa and I both have, nights like these are just another Tuesday. So go ahead, slip on those shower flip-flops, get comfortable, because this episode, we're hitting the hostel. I am so excited to be here with you tonight.
Thank you, guys.
This is Melissa McMeekin.
In the house.
You and I met in Canada. No, what? Let me start that over. I was like, me and you met in Canada. No, we did not. You are from Canada.
Yes.
So Melissa and I met last summer in Lagos, Portugal, which is the best kept fucking secret in the world.
Yeah.
Basically, it's in the Algarve region. How would you describe it?
I got like Greece, small town vibes in the mountain. Everyone's friendly. Everyone just wants to get fucked up, have a good time. That's what I can explain.
In a nutshell, yeah. I remember like traveling around and people telling me you've got to get down there, but it wasn't easy.
No. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's not like it has an airport in town. You've got to take a train or a bus and you're like, is it going to be worth it? Especially if you're in that kind of backpacker mindset, which is I want to get from point A to point B and I only have so much time.
Yeah.
Like you go to Lagos if you've got the time to spend, if you got the time to waste.
Yes.
It's like, it's very person to person. It's very word of mouth kind of place.
Yeah.
Who told you about Lagos?
It was actually, so my friend and I, it was, our birthdays were coming up and we knew we wanted to party. We were going to go to Ibiza, but plans kind of fell through. And she literally just looked up best party hostels in Europe and Rising Cock came up. And we were like, what the fuck is that?
I would love to see that blog.
And it was on Hostel World too. So we were like, all right, let's do it. So we took a 19-hour bus from Valencia.
Wow.
Yeah. We were desperate to party, clearly, for our birthdays. So, and it was worth it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember my Lagos origin story is sort of similar. I was working at a hostel in Sevilla at the time, which is like in the south of Spain and not too far of a drive. And you can kind of do it in a blah, blah car. And I remember I had the week off. It was Easter week and they wanted to sell as many beds as possible in the hostel because Sevilla is really popular for Easter. And so they said, Cassie, a bunch of other staff, go off and figure out what you're going to do because we don't have space for you at the inn anymore.
Right.
And I remember like looking up on Hostel World, like, where should I go? What's near? And Lagos, people had kept kind of recommending it, but not a lot.
Right.
Like, not a lot of people. It was very like, if you're in the know and someone kind of feels out your vibe and it feels right, they'll tell you about this place. But they're not just shouting from the rooftops. You should go to Lagos, Portugal.
Yeah, it's a special breed, definitely.
Right, it definitely is. And I remember looking up on Hostel World where I was going to go. Yeah, Rising Cock again and again was the number one hostel.
Yeah.
And I think for some people it can be a bit of a turn off the name, but I had the opposite reaction.
Same.
I was like, absolutely yes.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. We were like, what is this going to be? We have to know.
19 hours later.
Yes.
Wow.
Honey, it was an experience. For sure.
Amazing. I want to get into some basics before we get into your juicy travel story time.
Yes.
Tell the audience, tell us a little bit about you. How old are you? When did you first start traveling?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm 20. I started traveling when I was 18. So 18 years of me being in a small town. And I knew at like 14, I wanted to travel. So me and my best friend had this plan after graduation. We're doing Europe. we wanted to do much more, but then growing up, we realized like a lot of places cost a lot of money. So we had to pick one place, and that was Europe. And so we spent 3 months there.
Wow.
It was incredible. We went to Australia for a month and had a great time there.
Whoa, Australia too. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We were going to do 3 months in Australia, but I mean, at the end of Europe, we didn't really care about our budget anymore.
Yeah.
So we lost quite a bit of money there. So we only spent a month, but it was still fantastic.
Awesome. I was going to ask, I mean, since you've done that kind of long form type of travel, it's a very specific kind of budgeting that you've got to do. What are some quick and dirty tips that you've got for folks in a post-pandemic world, hitting the road and hitting it hard?
I think definitely utilize the free breakfast. You don't even realize how much money that saves you when you're doing the free breakfast. Free walking tours, they show you a lot, and you don't need to buy a bus ticket or a train ticket to go and see this place. You could just be walking.
For sure. That free breakfast tip?
Free pub crawls.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm going to save that for after we get a little more about your bio, because we have a lot to talk about on the topic of pub crawls.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, you hit it right on the head, because you and I know a bunch of tips about the hostel world. Right. I know some people that like prefer hotels and kind of doing a little bit more formal types of travel.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, pre-pandemic, it didn't really resonate with me.
No.
It definitely didn't resonate with my wallet. Like, I was like, is this place cheaper than $20 a night? And will they be giving me free food?
Yeah.
And free booze?
Yeah. Is there happy hour? That saves so much money. 100%.
You get so clutch doing all the different searches on Hostelworld.
Yeah, definitely.
My number one hack was looking in the reviews, really going far back, looking for certain words. Like, is there air conditioning?
That would be good to know.
Honestly, like control search and then just typing in bed bugs, that was going to save your ass.
Yes.
What place on your travels surprised you the most?
I would probably have to say Zagreb, Croatia.
Okay. I have not been there.
I mean, we got to Croatia. It was so early in our trip. We were going to, of course, go down to Split and Dubrovnik because that's where most people go in Croatia. And we were only staying in Zagreb for the weekend. And then we ended up staying for almost a month and we volunteered there and we absolutely fell in love. And it was an incredible experience. So that was the biggest surprise for me. I just fell in love with that little town and never wanted to leave.
Right. I think you and I are definitely on the same page of loving the smaller towns.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because you can actually fall into a flow there. You can get to know bartenders. You can get to know the people that work in the shops. You're not just like that annoying traveler that pops in, pollutes, and then leaves, you know?
Definitely.
Lagos definitely had that feel too.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I loved it so much. And especially Rising Cock. It's such a smaller hostel. So people can actually get to know each other. I go to some of the hostels in like Barcelona or, you know, Copenhagen, and it feels like a hotel. And you don't know anyone.
Yeah. And, you know, even just like the bare bones of how many people are allowed to stay, how many are in a room.
Right.
And if it's massive, that completely affects the vibe.
Yeah, 100%.
When I was kind of maybe a beginner sort of hosteler, traveler, I was looking at different places and I was like, the bigger meant better. Like that's, that was my immediate take, like how American of me, right? I was like, oh shit, they have TV room. They have like a room just full of ping pong tables and like all those things that you think.
An elevator?
Yeah, exactly. If it has an elevator, don't stay there.
Don't go. Don't go.
Number one rule.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's get to the nitty gritty. I want to hear, do you believe in travel love?
100%. 100%. And I'm not really sure if it's just because of me, because I just fall in love so easily. But I think when you're traveling, everyone is so much more vulnerable. Their guard is down. They're in this foreign country. You can be whoever you want to be, really. And I always found that when I meet new people, they know things about me that nobody else knows. You just share things with people that you wouldn't share with people if you were meeting at them at the bar in your hometown, right?
Yeah. I also love how you talk about like catching feelings like that.
So quick.
That is me too. What is it?
I don't know.
I catch feelings, flights, all of it real quick.
100%. And I think it's just like at this point, people ask me what's my type and I'm just like, foreign people.
I hear that. I hear that. I had no idea that this conversation was going to go in the direction it did with the hostels, but I absolutely am here for it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they get enough respect.
Definitely not.
So many people definitely like side eye, like, oh, you have to like stay in a room with a bunch of people and you right. have to this. And I'm like, okay, on the surface, your brain thinks that all those things are like, ugh, terrible.
Right.
I want my peace. I want my privacy. But then you go to that hotel room, maybe in a foreign city, a foreign country, and you just feel alone.
Yeah.
You don't feel super luxurious. You feel like, I want connection. I'm dying to meet somebody right now.
100%. Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be romantic, you know? No. And like the hotel lobby bar isn't cutting it. Like, please, right? I want to play trivia with someone. I want to flip a cup
yeah,
right now.
Definitely. And I also think too, like when you're in a city and you're just going to a bar, even then I feel like it might be difficult for you to meet people because you're just the foreigner in a group of locals.
Mm.
And so when you're going with, you know, the people from the hostel, it's easier to make those friends. You're in a group, you feel more comfortable, you can talk to more people, and they love to get to know like travelers too. Not tourists, but travelers too.
Right. That is the big distinction, the big T distinction.
Yeah.
And I mean, jumping back into how we met in Lagos in Portugal, I was working at that hostel, and that was the number one place that I realized what you just said, which is everybody just wants to be friends.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be friendly. Start the conversation. Like that's where I really, really honed my skill of seeing somebody and maybe they were really quiet, get them out of their shell.
Yes, me too.
You know?
Yeah.
And like the Rising Cock, what a name, is notorious yeah. as being a party hostel, right? It's
yeah.
not untypical to see people hooking up or starting like an adventure together, partying, like just really going for it. But there are some people that would go that were really shy as well. Mm-hmm. And like when I would lead my pub crawls at night, it was more rewarding for me to see that guy that yep. came and was really shy by himself, like dancing on top of a table.
100%. And that's definitely what I think for solo travelers too. They need that person who's there that's like, hey, how are you? Come join us. It's going to be fun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, I think so often, like when we are put in these positions, like you were volunteering in a hostel, so was I, like it comes really naturally to see a person that maybe you can tell is struggling socially yeah. to like make conversation. It's just natural for me to go up and be like, let's fucking talk. And I think why it comes so naturally is because I've been that person
yeah.
when I was younger and a little bit more in my shell. Like I wanted someone to just make me feel comfortable. Or how often do we walk into maybe one of those larger hostels or places where you get put into a room and everybody else is already friends?
Yeah.
Those are such a bummer. And all you want in that moment is just to make feel like you're a part of the group.
Yeah.
So you get that opportunity, say, you know, in Zagreb or when I was volunteering in Lagos, and you're like, I'm going to make this person feel like the center of my world because 100%. I've been there.
And they're usually the best kind of people too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so nostalgic right now.
Yeah,
and that
too.
Is the whole point of this pod, right? Like yeah. I really put myself in my feelings when I started this project.
Yes. Same. You asked me to join this a week ago. And all week I've been thinking about, you know, my stories and my travels and my people that I've met. And it's just so nostalgic.
Oh my gosh. And you know, if you guys are not familiar with the pod, the way that it works is that I invite an epic traveler like Melissa onto the show and we do a little Q&A, but then I hand the mic over to them and they tell me all about an epic love story or epic travel story, whatever. It doesn't even have to be romantic. Maybe it's right. a crazy night out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely don't know tonight because Melissa said she wasn't going to tell me. She wants me to be surprised.
I just wonder if you've had the same experiences and I'm super excited to share that
oh,
with you.
I definitely feel like we're going to be on the same page about this already.
Probably. Yeah.
On the same page.
Probably.
So, I mean, without further ado, I want to hear it. Let's
all
go.
Right, all right. So I'm setting the scene. It's June. You're in Italy. Obviously, I was with my best friend the whole time. We were there for 3 months and we were just in Amalfi Coast, which is arguably one of the most beautiful places in Europe. And we just had the worst time. We had to put my dog down here at home. So I was kind of dealing with that. And then my friend wow. had just so much shit going on with her family back home here too. So we're both just having an equally awful time in this beautiful place and just kind of hating it. We were like nearing the end of our Europe trip. We had Amalfi and Rome left and then we were leaving, which was so sad, bittersweet for sure.
Mm.
And right before Rome, we stopped in Sorrento. And it was like this beautiful beach town. It was amazing. The people were awesome. And we just met these amazing group of people in our room, of course. And they were a bunch of Americans and we just had a blast with them. And the best part too was the fact that we kind of forgot about our troubles. And that was my favorite part about traveling. And what I realized what was so important about traveling is you have your shit back home, but you just have to live in the moment because who knows when you're going to be in Amalfi Coast again, right? Like you never know.
Right.
And our group was kind of leaving. We were separating. We were doing our own thing. And it was our last night. And we're like, okay, what are we going to do? And we got up. We got dressed in our finest duds, you know, as dressed up as you can be with your backpacker gear.
Right. Where are my fanciest jean shorts?
Right. And my Birkenstocks, right? When we got all dressed up, we had a wonderful dinner. We ate so much pasta and we spent way too much money. And we grabbed a bunch of beers and we headed down to the beach and it's midnight. And we all just took off our clothes and went swimming and just had an amazing time. And we're like racing to the docks in the middle of the ocean there. And it was just at that moment, it felt like a movie, like a coming of age movie. All I needed was that indie song to play, right? And
oh,
I was in that
gosh.
Perfect moment. And the cops came and we got kicked out and we had to go back to the hostel. And this hostel had like a beautiful rooftop and you could see the mountains and the city and the ocean. And we're all just hanging out, having a laugh, having some drinks, listening to music. And there was a guy in the group who I was like vibing with the whole time. Like I had a crush on
yes.
him. As soon as he walked in, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
That one, call it.
Let's call him Peter. Sure, Peter.
Awesome.
Vibing the whole time. Not sure if he was into me, but I was like, I'm just play it cool. I'm gonna play it cool.
What do you have to lose?
Exactly, right? It's our last night too. It always happens on the last night that you meet those people. But we're all on the roof and, you know, people started to slowly trickle out one by one going to bed. And it was just us. And we watched the sunrise and events transpired. And it was just like this perfect moment. Like the swimming
gosh.
And the dinner and the sunrise and the rooftop. And it was just
wow.
wonderful.
What yeah. an epic 24 hours.
And after like such a shitty time in my life emotionally and like going on, like even with my friend. And we just had that perfect moment. That just goes to show, like, enjoy the time you have. Don't be caught up in the moment because you're going to have a great time, right?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, speaking of, like, don't get caught up in your head, like, I feel like travel, it forces you out of that mindset
yeah.
anyway. Like, 100%. You really cannot be in your head because all day long you have to think about, like, well, how do I get home? And this
yeah.
is a new path. How do I understand this or that? And,
right.
you know, I once read talking about why travel was so addicting and really kind of slaps you out of like your old flows.
Right.
Is because, you know, legitimately, you just have to make a bunch more decisions when you're traveling
yeah.
than like your 10, 20 loops at
yeah.
home. Like if you really think about, you know, going to work on that same path every day, or you going to get that coffee at that same place? There's only so many different ways that that plays out. And
right.
your brain gets a little bit numbed to the experience. Whereas with travel, it's new every single day. Even finding where you're going to get coffee is new.
Legit. Yeah. Just wondering if you're going to make that plane or not, right? It's just your brain's always moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exciting.
What a weird thought that just came to mind, but it reminds me of like, you know, in the past with hunter gatherers, like we never stayed in
right.
one place long.
Right?
Like we legitimately didn't have homes. Like we just, you know, set up camps and would move,
yeah.
but like we kept things freaking interesting.
Yeah.
And many history books talk about how arguably we were happier.
Yeah,
but
right.
What a weird tangent.
But
I don't know
so
why I was
true.
Thinking. I was thinking of my caveman ancestors as
of
you
course.
Were talking about that. Wow, what a good 24 hours. I've had those moments too where, I mean, I'll take myself back to Italy as well. Like I remember I had just landed in Rome and I remember thinking it was going to be different because I had visited Rome as a younger girl. Like maybe I was like 15 or something like that on an ambassador trip, you know,
right.
when they just gather a bunch of high school kids, like
yeah.
do-gooders and take them abroad.
Yeah, I did that too.
Right. It's a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I remember we went to Rome and I wanted to go back because I wanted to see it in what I called like adult eyes.
Yes.
You know, because at that age, I mean, I'll be honest, I was majority of the time more focused on like, do these people like me? Right. What is my standing in this group? Like, I was so insecure.
Right.
And I wanted to be adult Cassie, semi-adult. Like, yes. I was like 25. Like, who was I kidding? But I remember getting there and getting to the hostel and facing all of the things that we talked about as no-nos about a hostel.
Right.
Like, it was huge. And it had an elevator.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it, though, was it had like a pub crawl at night. But it was just so big that it wasn't like one person was going around playing like a name game or introducing people. It was just massive.
Right.
And I think you had to pay to go on this crawl. And everyone was just being like obnoxious because you're 50 people walking down roads in Rome.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember being a little bit down about everything and then waking up from a nap. Opening my eyes and looking over in the corner, and there was this gorgeous, gorgeous dude. And I was just like, I think my luck has just changed. But seriously, I was like, what am I doing here? What did I think was going to be different about Rome? Rome has been like this for a very fucking long time. I mean, it goes to show because the next few days after that, I was so in travel love.
Yes.
I was so in it. And I was like, Rome is just beyond. I can't believe I get to be here, you know, and soaking up all these like romantic places with somebody like this. It totally flipped my perspective.
Yeah. When you're in like Paris or Rome and you meet that person and you're like, I am literally in a romantic movie right now. I am the main character.
I understand what all the songs are about.
Right.
I understand what he was talking about in that one book.
Yeah. And I'll never see you again.
I'll see you on Snapchat. Exactly. I'll see you on WhatsApp.
When you get your girlfriend a year later.
That takes me to my next question. How do you feel when you see like an ex-travel romance, an ex-travel tryst in a relationship?
I mean, I think my past self, it hurts the heart a little bit. But I think when you go into travel connections and those travel relationships, you have to have that understanding beforehand. Like, we might not ever see each other again. You might be that person that unfollows me in 6 months' time, which has happened to me multiple times.
Tell the truth.
We can talk about that later. But but you have to have that intention going into it. Like, yeah, we're just going to live in the moment. We're going to enjoy these 3 days together. And whether or not that happens again in the future, I still support those people. I find, like I said, you're very vulnerable when you're traveling. You might be a different person. You don't know. You just met that person for 3 days. That might be a totally different person from what they are at home, right? So I still support it. It just hurts this past self a little bit, but yeah.
I hear that. What a grown answer. For real, like... You touched on all the different points of it, of I think as well, what doesn't get talked about a lot is, you know, we can be different people when we're traveling.
Yeah.
Whether it's you putting on a different personality trait that you've always wanted to have on for size. I mean, some people even just freaking change their names. Like, they're different people.
Exactly.
And I've had the experience of going to visit somebody in their hometown, or not necessarily their hometown, but like where they lived, and experiencing a completely different person.
Yeah.
It was wild. I remember there was this one French dude that I met at a music festival. We hit it off. And a couple weeks later, I was in London for this or that, you know, with my backpack ready to go. And I hit him up and he was so nice. He was like, yeah, come stay with me. And I was like, great. Part two. Here we go.
Yeah.
It was so radically different.
Yes.
So radically different of a vibe. And I understood it, you know, like while it wasn't my favorite, you know, kind of turn of events, it was like, this is where you work. This is not where you play. You know, maybe, of course, like you have a play and you go to the bars back in the day and stuff like that.
Right.
But it wasn't where you went to lose yourself. Like maybe that weekend he went to Barcelona, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's definitely the case for European guys too. Because they could just hop on a 45-minute plane ride and be in a completely different country.
Truly, how jealous are we of that?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you know, you can have the comparison like in the States of like, you know, fly to California from Texas and you can have that too. And I'm like, no. I don't know. I mean, the US is enormous and it covers so much land, but yet like, there's not a huge difference in the, say, comparison to like, if you're on a train in England, you get off like 45 minutes later, there's different accents. There's different kind of ways of holding the world.
Yeah.
Even in those countries too, that are like side by side.
Completely different culture.
Exactly. Yeah. One train ride away and people have a whole other way of looking at the world.
Yeah.
Even like, oh, this is what time we eat. Or this is what we like to have for dessert. The differences and how they all get along pretty freaking well is astounding.
Yeah. That was probably the biggest culture shock for me, was realizing that no, not everyone is like Canadians and Americans. They're very different.
You know, when I was working at the hostel at the Rising Cock, the one that you and I met at, there were a ton of Canadians that rolled through.
Yes.
Like there was a ton of Aussies and then there's a lot of Canadians. And I got so familiar with you guys that people would be like, we'd always play the game. Like, where do you think they're from? And people would always be like, American. I'm like, no, dude. That's a Canadian. And they're like, they sound American. What's the difference? And I'm like, I don't know. They almost sound more American than Americans in the accent. That's what it is.
It's so funny. Like, I don't notice our accents at all. But people are like, yeah, you're totally Canadian or you're totally American.
Oh, it wasn't a totally for me. It was more just like that subtle little flavor. And I was like, that person's Canadian. And they're also like slightly nicer.
Right.
Just side by side with an American. And they're like really sweet and like possibly in the Berks. Possibly in some Birkenstocks. I'm like,
yes,
that's a Canadian right there.
Definitely. But yeah, there's so many Aussies and Canadians.
It got to the point for me, like if I was solo traveling and maybe like just going to get a coffee or whatever, and you hear like, because we're loud. It's unfortunate. Us as like in small groups, like we're respectful. I think you start getting us in clusters, we can be problematic. And you just like hear from, they haven't even turned the corner yet. And you hear,
you can hear
American accents and you're, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna be going the other direction. No shade, but like I'm here to experience something different.
And I think especially when you're in those big groups, it's so easy to tell who the obnoxious people are, who the people that, you know, they're probably going to get kicked out of the bar at the end of the night. Know those people. And as a person who used to lead pub crawls, like that was my job at the hostel. It was so easy for me to like point out to these problematic people, like who I'm going to have to watch because I don't want to get like, you know, kicked out of this bar for the future, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Which was a problem for sure.
Yeah. And you and I both volunteered in towns where the relationships with bar owners was important.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't like we were going to a club with cover. There was no bottle service.
Right.
You were going to like pubs.
Yeah.
You know, and really cute, tiny little bars that had dance floors.
In basements.
Oh my gosh. Take me back. I want to hear in your words, like, how would you describe a night out in Lagos? Deep inhalation.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would picture it as you're at the hostel and a bunch of people are trying to get you to do a shooey because that's how you start your night with the shooey.
What's a shooey? For those uninformed, blissfully uninformed yet.
You drink into your shoe and then you drink out of it, which I, being in Mexico, I made all of my friends do because that's just a tradition for me. Now I've been around so many Australians, but
you're the shooey instigator.
I am. And I used to hate it at first, but now I am. But it's okay. I have a Birkenstock. It's much easier to drink out of. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You even have like the Birkenstock at the end, like has what turns it into almost a cup.
Yes.
That's a whole shot in your ankle.
Just close your eyes and it's like a cup. But anyway.
You know, you also bring up a good point of like, when you first see these things, they like rub you the wrong way almost. You're almost like, oh my God, that's so dirty. Ew.
You're like, what? That is obnoxious and gross.
Right. Exactly. And it's always an Aussie doing it. And for me, especially, like I was definitely like, oh my gosh, so quick to judge. And like, I've never done a shooey. Let it be known. But I think there's something about leaning into the experience.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
Like instead of fighting it and like, oh my God, they're so obnoxious. Instead being like, I mean, we're all here on vacation. Are they not hurting anybody? Okay, fine.
Come on.
It's also really difficult to be like pissed off in a perfect little beach town like Lagos was.
100%.
You could have the craziest night, but I never saw fights. I never saw fights in this tiny little town.
I never saw fights.
Everybody kept it cool.
100%.
I want to talk about, did you also experience that feeling of just being super free? Like, I mean, you had been traveling, you were traveling for 3 months, right? And each place makes you feel great. Was there a specific kind of like level unlocked in Lagos for you?
I mean, in Lagos, not necessarily, because we were kind of in that groove of meeting cool people and we were kind of like sticking to our friend group and having those moments. And it was really fun. But right after Portugal, we went up to Denmark and we were in Copenhagen. And we kind of split up because we were both meeting some people after the fact.
People were being met?
Yes, exactly. We split up for a couple days and then I was kind of solo for a day or two before we both reconnected. And I was just wandering through Copenhagen and filling my journal up because I'd missed like 3 weeks of what I wanted to write. I was just exploring and I just felt at home. Being in this foreign country, having nothing but clothes on in a backpack, and I felt like I could live anywhere and be okay with that. And that's when I realized like I needed to try solo traveling because right. It's so freeing.
Up until that point, you had been traveling in a pair and then you had some time alone.
Yeah, even if it was only for 2 days, it was a great experience. And then I went to Mexico and that for the most part was pretty alone. So that was also amazing.
I love that. You know, I had a similar experience in Copenhagen. I remember I had been on a solo adventure for a couple weeks at that point. I'm still very much in the beginning,
right?
Which was, you're still getting your footing.
Yeah.
You know, like you're very deeply insecure. You're not speaking even.
Dealing with the culture shock.
Right. Exactly. There's even moments where you're like, I'm kind of shy to use my voice because people are going to hear my accent.
Yes.
And like, no, I'm not from here. Like that's very real, very much so in the first few weeks. And then, you know, there's experiences that you go through with time that make you more and more comfortable. And I had just been in Berlin. I had like a little travel tryst there that had just ended. And I didn't know if I liked how it had ended.
Right.
But I was like, but you know what the best thing about solo travel is? I can leave this damn country right now.
Yep.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, 100%.
So I remember I took like a 7-hour bus/ferry up to Copenhagen and I just fell in love. I don't know if maybe you stayed at the same hostel as me, but it was like the downtown Copenhagen hostel. There's really only like a couple in town.
I want to say, yeah, I can't remember, but it was very popular.
Mm.
And there was like the entrance was the bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
It was in a really good location as well.
Yeah.
And I remember being very much alone there, but the hostel didn't have like the kind of events like we're talking about, like say like the Rising Cock did. It didn't have like, oh, once a day we'll take you somewhere. And then at night we're all going to hang together. It was just like more so go to the bar and figure it out.
Yeah.
And some nights it was really easy and people would be like, come sit with us. And other nights you felt like I'm a literal loser.
Hello.
But I remember being in Copenhagen and I was working on a grant for my company, for my app Lady Lab, which side note, check it out.
Yes.
But I remember working on a grant in Copenhagen and I was taking advantage of going to all the different really cool libraries.
Right.
Like there's the Black Diamond, which is right on the water.
Yeah.
There was a couple like universities that you could use their libraries. And I just felt so in flow.
Yeah.
You know, going to different coffee shops and opening up and like really a grant is working on a dream.
Right.
You know, like you're putting it out there that you're like, I'm working on this idea right now. And I believe that it deserves some cash.
Yes.
Will you give me some? Like you have to believe in yourself so fully.
That conviction.
Exactly. And Copenhagen gave me the conviction.
Same here.
Walking those streets, renting those bikes. And it just is such a beautiful, well-crafted little city. Super polite people that know how to have a good time and just wanted to soak up the sun.
Yeah.
I remember I had an epic night out there that, I mean, it wasn't even actually that epic. It was just, you met a bunch of people in the hostel, you vibed, you gelled, you went to an Irish pub, embarrassing, but it happened. And I remember at the end of the night, just kind of wandering around and getting to the water. And some people were in it. Some people were swimming around and just discreetly having a very casual, like nice little dip in the water.
Yeah.
Like a little drunken dip.
Yeah.
And I remember all of us were like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Just like got down to our bra and undies and just jumped in and made a moment out of thin air.
Yes. That's literally just like my Italy story. Like those incredible moments that you will actually remember so vividly just happened out of nowhere. There was no plan. It just happened and it was great.
Yeah, I love that. And it really speaks to, I think, you know, they talk about, well, what are you going to remember on your deathbed or what are the memories you cling to? And it's those when you're like legitimately like on your back swimming around and you're like, why wasn't I living every day like this?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I, you know, taking the risks and chances like this. And I'd love to talk a little bit about like that feeling when you come back, you know, you're back on soil and like you live it a little bit, you know, like you're excited to bring that kind of adventurism and like new perspective. And then like little by little, you kind of sink back into flows.
You get in that groove.
Yeah. You sink back into dynamics and like, it's not a bad thing, you know, but it's a little sad.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, there needed to be this big shift because I went to Europe and Australia and I just absolutely loved the person that I was there. And I loved it. And then I went to Mexico and I realized like I can be that person anywhere. I just think that it has to be somewhere else.
Right.
I can still be that cool Melissa from the hostel in Airdrie in my small town, right? And so I think obviously coming home, you're so sad. It's bittersweet. You want to be there again. But I've really learned to like enjoy that for what it is and enjoy the time you have at home and just get ready for the next time that you get to go out there because there will be a next time because you know you love it. You're going to be gone again.
Totally. I mean, that's kind of been the way that's been helping me through these kind of like rougher months, you know, these uncertain times. I don't know how many conversations my friend Masako will always say to me. She goes, Mexico will be there.
Yes.
You know, it will be there and it's waiting for you. I think it's also kind of holding it in this way. There is an abundance of time.
Yes.
You know, even after all this is said and done, vaccines are out the door, you can still be traveling.
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm going to be having my 30th birthday in May. How crazy is that? And I have this kind of vision in my head of like, oh my God, do I have to stop?
Right.
Because like, that's what I keep hearing society telling
yes.
me. You yeah. know, like you reach a certain age and it's like, it's time to transition to this next part of your life.
Yep.
I'm going to be very curious to see what my generation of folks does in the next couple of years. Like I'm already seeing the viral tweets that right. say stuff like, I don't age in the middle of a pandemic. That's constitutionally
right.
like illegal.
Right.
Like I'm going to be the age I was when this shit started.
Right.
I'm 28 for the next 5 years.
Yes.
That's just the law.
100%. 100%.
People talk about, well, where do you see yourself next? Because like right now I just moved out of Los Angeles. I've been living there the last 6 years.
Right.
And I came back home and that wasn't the plan. The plan had been, you know, take up that summer job in Portugal I'd been offered and just be that quote unquote digital nomad.
Yes.
You know, and things changed and I got moved kind of at home and I'm so lucky that I get to be here and ride this out.
Right.
And people say, well, what's next? And honestly, what a weird question. Who even knows when what next
exactly.
comes? But people were like, well, where do you see yourself living? And I had a really hard time with that answer. You know, as a Texan, so many people just assume like if you're liberal and under in a certain age range, like you definitely want to be in Austin.
Right.
Like I've lived there. It's an amazing place. But what's really interesting to me is the idea of shacking up in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like I would love to be, I know that you love it too, Mexico City.
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
And then just do your little trips over to the beaches.
Yeah.
But Mexico City is one of the most cultured, cosmopolitan, metropolitan places.
Yeah.
It blew me away.
It was insane. And I think, I mean, I had very different ideas of what Mexico City was like. And for most of it was negative. Because you just hear from media and through people that it's a dangerous place. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's so busy. You're going to hate it.
Yeah.
And I got there and I fell in love with the place. Like you said, there's so much culture. It's so insane. There's parks and there's history and you're just like in this city that never sleeps, I think. I think even more so than New York. And I've been to New York and I feel like I felt so much more inspired in Mexico City. And I need to be back there.
Oh, yeah. You know, you bring up like how there's just so much art. One thing that I saw and picked up on again and again was when I would walk out, it was just, you'd hear music everywhere.
Yes.
There would be
yes.
performances in the streets or like, hey, come in this museum. We're having an exhibit. And, you know, especially in America, I'm not sure if in Canada as well, but they really paint Mexico with this brush that is just like you said, it's not the truth, you
yeah.
know, and you as an adult and you grow older, you're like, oh my gosh, like, let me see it for what it is, which
yeah.
is just a lie, you know, and I'm a Mexican American myself. And like, I've crossed the border here and there, like by my town, but going deep inside was something that I had never truly done. And it just blew me away.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I got to Puerto and I was Puerto Escondido and I was at the beach and I was at this one hostel for the whole month. And I just went through a breakup and I was like, hey, well, if I'm going to be sad, I might as well be sad at the beach, right?
In paradise.
Right. And I just met these amazing people. And I think too, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but Europe and Australia was me just kind of like discovering and figuring out my sexuality and just really like diving deep into that. But for Mexico, it was all about like girl power and just friendships and just growing.
Amazing. It's almost like with psychedelics, you know, like each trip you get something out of it, different. Which you needed.
Exactly.
And I feel like, you know, Europe, that definitely, you know, I've gone a couple different times solo and each trip I was like, ooh, I'm learning something different about myself. And especially when you're alone, especially you've got to sit with yourself and a lot of feelings come up. That's why I think we all can be a little legitimately afraid of that moment.
100%. Because,
you know, you're sitting there at the restaurant table by yourself and a lot of thoughts can come up, you know, of, well, what does alone mean? Why am I alone? All these things. It's all in the way you hold it at the end of the day, right? But I think solo adventuring is just like a really good exercise in getting comfortable with those voices, in, you know, sitting in it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's literally what Mexico was like, okay, I've never been alone like this before. And it was really, like you said, just getting comfortable with being by yourself and realizing that that's okay. And you need that right now. You don't need to be with people for dinner. You can just go and have some tacos by yourself and watch the sunset. And that's a great moment too, right? Like, live your life.
Oh my gosh. Yes. What was the hostel that you were at for a month?
Selena.
Oh, okay. Okay. When I was there, I went to Bonito or Bonita Escondido.
Okay.
It was cute as well. I definitely went by Selena and it had like more of like that digital nomad vibe going. But I mean, Puerto Escondido, guys, check it out. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, I was there with someone else and he would rather go to Selena's because Selena is like the hotel of hostels. And me coming from a person who likes the small hostels where everyone knows your name. And we were just in La Punta.
Like, cheers.
Yes. And we got to the hostel in La Punta and the owner lived there and he knew. He was like, Melissa, as soon as we came in and I, like, the door didn't close in our room. Like, that was my favorite kind of hostel.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I just hated Selena at first because I didn't have a job. So Monday to Friday, everyone was on their laptop doing their thing. And I'm like, okay, well, I just realized that I can't be alone. So what the fuck am I going to do with myself?
Right? Go hang with like the 50 million dogs in town.
Right? Which I did at that also. But I just decided, like, okay, Melissa, you're not going to do anything if you don't just go out there and meet people. And I just met this amazing group of people and friendships for life. Hopefully a great person that I can meet again. And yeah, it's just amazing.
It really is about those moments where it's a decision. You're sitting by yourself, or maybe you're checking out the sunset by yourself and you see a group over there.
Yeah.
And it's an internal decision. Are you going to go up and introduce yourself? Are you just going to go back? And both are fine.
Yes.
Like, your journey is your journey, but like, you have a choice there.
Yeah.
And you can really make a powerful one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That changes the rest of your trip and even yourself too, even going home. Like, I used to always think of myself as an introvert. And at Selena, at that hostel, I was getting, and maybe it was just the the time I was in Croatia trying to get people to party and get drunk because that was my job. But I was getting people to go to these parties at the beach and I was just like gaggling all these group of people to come and hang out with me because I was alone, right? And people were like, Mel, you are not an introvert at all. Like, you are the reason we're friends, this whole group. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I need to realize something about myself that I didn't know.
Yeah. What I'm hearing more and more in your stories too, and I just want to like really bring to the surface for you, is like, in every situation, you're such a like community builder and like security for folks.
Yeah.
Like, and you said that you saw yourself as like maybe like an introverted individual.
Yeah.
And wow, what travel completely brings out a different side of you.
100%.
That just connects people, makes people feel comfortable. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, just amazing times. Makes me so happy. So nostalgic.
Let's fast forward a little bit. After all this mess, where is like next on your bucket list?
Next, I'd love to do Asia. I've heard that's beautiful. Yeah. Definitely want to do that. I've had this dream since I was like 12 to go to Iceland, to rent a car and just road trip.
Wow. You know, when I was thinking about you and the questions and kind of the tone of this episode, I was thinking that you would favor kind of like the more natural places versus like these big bulking cities.
Right.
being out in nature. Does that ring true?
Yeah, it's so hard for me because, like, I mean, as a person who just idolized New York as a kid so much, I love the idea of a big city. I mean, like, my town, there's like 50,000, 60,000 people. So I just always yearned for that big city. That's something nobody knows who I am. And it's so different, right? But then realized, like, going traveling, like, I belong in the mountains 100%. Being at the beach, and then we go up to the mountains to do mushrooms, and I'm like, oh my God, I miss like the elevation and the air quality and all this thing. And I'm meant to be in that kind of nature setting, but I think I want to experience living in a big city for sure. So I think I like that balance, but yeah.
Mexico City sounds perfect for you.
In the mountains and drive 45 minutes. Yeah, very high.
It's highly elevated. Yeah. I remember being in Mexico City, be like, hey, help, I can't breathe. And like maybe by like day 7 being like, I can breathe now.
I can breathe now. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that we got to have this conversation and I got to dive in a little bit deeper with you and share all these amazing stories and our hopes for the futures as well.
100%. It was so much fun. I was so excited to do this. And I'm just so glad that we could sit down and just talk about travel. I could talk about it forever.
And like, honestly, just a little round of applause here. Like how you shot into my DMs and were like, I want to do
this.
She volunteered as tribute right quick. And, you know, I think a big, big part of the pod and why Globetrotter is so important to me is I want to start normalizing these kind of conversations.
Yes.
I think we're in a big renaissance in terms of, you know, being sex positive and being, you know, in just holding different kind of relationships in higher regards as well. Like, it's not always about long-term commitment.
Yeah.
Like, I think some people even think like, you know, long distance is like crazy. And I was like, well, have you ever heard about falling in love for 24 hours in a train station?
I'm living it right now. Yeah, definitely. And I think too, like what you realize, especially for a person who hasn't necessarily been in love, or they're in their town like me, this, you know, 18 years at the time, and not really met anyone that I truly felt like I had that connection with, to go to the other side of the world and only see them for 3 days and feel like, oh my God, am I in love? Like, what is this feeling? I think that's so great for people to realize the capacity of love and just the capacity that they have for themselves too, I think is so, so amazing. Everyone needs to travel.
Ooh, well, you're getting it all when you pack that suitcase, when you pack that backpack.
You really do.
Well, thanks again for coming on. Anytime you want to come back, you just be thinking about what stories you want to share.
Oh, I am thinking. Don't you worry. I've got much more. Enchanté.
Keep up with our amazing and refreshingly honest guest, Melissa, by following her on Insta at Melissa McMeekin. And be sure to subscribe to the pod to get more Globetrotter delivered straight to you. Want to spill the tea with us in real time? Follow Globetrotter on Twitch to catch these interviews recorded live, along with all the bits that were too risque to make the final episode. Inspired to share your epic travel story? DM the lover in Travel Lover on Instagram to tell me all about it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I suddenly have to go through my entire camera roll from 2 summers ago. Till next time, I'm Cassie Martinez.